Hey there, this is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for listening. I appreciate your time, whatever you're doing. Hope you're having a good day and things are going your way. And if not, well, we'll turn it around and make sure they do. How's that? Oof. Done. All right. I wanted to talk with somebody who could give you an uplift, a redirect, a jumpstart, a rush, just in case, you know, it's that time of year when we're doing this, at least when this is being, when we're talking about it, where things are winding down, summer is letting go, and the school year's picking up for people. I just saw a video today online of the mom who sends her kids off to school and does a little dance, like a little touchdown, you know, rah, 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 today's version. One year it was celebrate good times as the kids toddle off to the bus. This year it was the bye, bye, bye. So anyway, having a sense of humor helps. And also having a sense of enthusiasm. But we don't always get there overnight. Sometimes it takes maybe a real life crisis or a moment where things aren't going the way that we want. Lisa Ryan is my guest. She is the author of The Upside of Down Times, Discovering the Power of Gratitude. And she does a whole lot more than that. But I'm going to let her tell that, okay? Hi there, Lisa.
Hi, Wendy. Nice to be here.
Okay. Go ahead. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, my company, Gratigy, our goal is to actually bring a sense of appreciation into the world. My goal is to personally change the face of business one thank you at a time, but it works on all levels. And the corporation to build more lasting relationships between company and employees. But when we look at the power of gratitude from our own personal lives, I like to look at it from four areas that happen when you show gratitude. And that's how my book's broken out. The S is for self. How does it affect our perspective or the way that we look at things? The H is for health. What physical benefits does it have? The O is for relationships with others. How can we strengthen those simply by appreciating people while they're in our lives? And the W is for wealth. Not only our own personal abundance and prosperity, but also how do we translate that into the business world?
Okay, where did you get this idea? I'm guessing you didn't just when you were seven say, okay, I'm going to do the gratitude thing. What happened?
It was 2009, and I attended a four-day seminar with a few of my friends, and being seminar junkies, we knew what would happen. We would go to the seminar and we would be all excited and wanting to make all of these changes. And then, of course, in a very short period of time, all of that enthusiasm would wane and we would go right back to where we were before the seminar. And for the first time, we didn't want that to happen again. So we said, okay, well, what we can do is we'll open up a Facebook thread and every day we'll write down some things that we learned at the seminar. And then one of my friends, I don't even think it was me, said, hey, let's write down three things that we're grateful for. And it was just kind of like, all right, what the heck? So we did that every day, and we held each other accountable for it. And within a very short period of time, I started noticing a lot of things that were happening that were changing in my life for the better. At the time, I was in medical sales where I was used to having to clinically document everything that I ever said. And I wanted to see if there was something more to gratitude than just what I was personally experiencing. I mean, was it really a coincidence or was there something more to it? So that's when I started researching and just have read hundreds of reports and papers and taken programs and attended seminars and done a lot of research that verifies the power of gratitude on every level. So almost a year later, when my medical sales position was eliminated via group conference call with 12 of us on the phone, I decided to pursue something that I had been wanting to do. It was on my goal list from 1989. That was to develop a speaking career. And gratitude, because it resonated so fully and completely with me, and I saw what the difference that it made in my life. I saw it transform the lives of others. I saw how it worked in business. that just became my goal, my passion, to really take it out and to show the power of what happens when we appreciate what we already have.
Okay, part of it is that, and I chuckled there when you said ending your job by conference call, that kind of thing. I've been through some changes when they just come in and hand out yellow envelopes and you have no idea what's in your envelope. And later you find out one has a pink slip and one has a cream slip. And the pink slip means you're not there. And as you're opening that up among your coworkers, former coworkers, it's like death by firing squad. It's absolutely devastating. So the kinds of things that people go through in terms of getting a redirect in life can be a real wake-up call. And you take that and make the best of it what you can. I like that you guys decided to, instead of continuing the junkie formula, get right off the train and create something new with it. And what I also appreciated was that you had some real solid results in your own behavior that said, this isn't just about speaking empty words. This is about changing a whole life view. Can you incorporate more of that into what happened personally?
Sure. I remember when it first happened, when I got that call, when I was invited to the organizational announcement. And again, it was completely out of left field in that the call was announced on Monday, and of course, me being like any self-respecting rep, started calling all my friends. Hey, what's going to happen? Who's going to get canned? What's going to go on? And nobody knew anything. So when my friend called me and said that the conference call was switched to 11:30, and I was like, I didn't get that email. And she said, you weren't on the list. So, ooh, almost like that didn't. What's going to happen? And when it happened, I'm sitting in my office, and you know when something is happening and it's so bad, you're literally like pinching yourself. You're saying, this can't be happening. I have to wake myself up. This has to be a dream. And I'm sobbing and I'm physically trembling from head to toe. And then, of course, I had to call my husband and let him know that my cushy job was no more. And I was in that frame of mind for a while. And then I said, wait a minute, I've been keeping a gratitude journal for a year now. You know, what can I find to be grateful for? And that's when I sat back, basically went into the silence. I did a little meditation and I asked myself, you know, what can I find to be grateful for? And that's when I got that little image of my goal list from 1989 that probably had, I don't know, 70 or 80 things on it. The first one was to buy a house, had already done that. But the second one was to speak professionally, and the third one was to write a book. And it was almost like this physical weight lifted from my shoulders as I realized, I said, oh, the opportunity is completely open for me that I would not have had if I was still working 60-plus hours a week, if I was still in the field every day. And I never knew what I was supposed to speak about. I mean, my career was in sales. I could have very easily spoke about sales. I could have spoken about network marketing because I've done some of that. But none of that resonated with me the way that gratitude has. And even since implementing that practice of my own from 2009, I mean, I never told my husband that I was keeping a gratitude journal, not that, you know, it was any big secret. It was just not his thing. But I noticed that our relationship got better. He became more verbally appreciative to me. And because he was thanking me, and believe me, it wasn't because I was keeping the house any cleaner, I started thanking him. And I've noticed that even in that four years that I have kept that practice, of that daily gratitude practice, that my marriage has become so much stronger. I've been married for 17 years, and frankly, I feel like I'm a newlywed because I have the most incredible husband on the planet.
Okay. And when he noticed, did he ask, did he say, have you done something different?
You know, I don't think that he really did, because I've always been a pretty optimistic, happy person. So it wasn't that he noticed a physical change in me, but he just started, like I said, started more thanking me for doing little things, for just being there, for going more out of his way to verbally appreciate me. And that was one of the things that I came across in my research, one of the studies that was done on gratitude. You know, they had one group that kept a gratitude journal that wrote down what they were thankful for. A second group wrote down on a daily basis all the little troubles and hassles, all the things that bugged them. And then the third group simply recorded the day's events without emotion because they were the control group. And it turned out that not only was the gratitude group, you know, they were happier, they exercised more often, about an hour and a half more per week, they had fewer physical complaints, they complained less often, but when they interviewed the people that were associated with the gratitude group, they noticed a difference. They noticed that they were nicer to be around, that they were more emotionally available. So even though you don't have to necessarily physically say, honey, I'm keeping a gratitude journal, but when we start ourselves with a practice, with simply writing down the things that we're grateful for on a daily basis, other people pick that up and other people notice, and it transforms our relationships.
Well, they talk about this in Zen Habits. I mean, this isn't anything new. It's just that I think people have overlooked it because it seems so simple.
Right. Well, we grew up with it. Mom and Dad always told us, what are the magic words? Say please, say thank you. And one of the things that I like to also bring up as far as the other magic words are simply you're welcome. Because so many times when somebody says thank you, we'll say, no worries, no problem. It was nothing, which is the worst one. We've basically taken the gift of that person expressing their appreciation to us and throwing it back in their face by saying it was nothing. If we can, on the other hand, fully embrace that person's thank you simply by saying the words, you're welcome, again, it puts a different spin on that relationship. It accepts the gifts and makes that gratitude come full circle.
Well, I think it's just a way to be kind and say, I appreciate you. It's a, instead of an empty exchange, it's an interaction, an iteration, or an energy shift where you're going, I am appreciative of what you did. It just changes your body because you're reacting.
Well, and so many times we just assume that people know that we appreciate them. We assume that they know that we love them. We assume that we appreciate what they're doing. But unless the words are physically coming out of your mouth, or even better yet, written down, you know, when you tell somebody you appreciate them, you create this beautiful memory. But when you write it down in the form of a thank you note or a letter of appreciation, you're creating a treasure that that person will keep, will be able to refer to, and have that basically hard copy of somebody's appreciation.
Okay, the website, gratigy.com, you've got a blog on there, but you also have a video where you're doing a presentation and talking about one of the people you were connecting with who I like the way the image you present of this person who's not a happy camper and saying that gratitude won't work. Could you share that one?
Yeah, I love that story. I had posted a question on social media. And because I was doing some research, I was trying to find out how gratitude worked in business. This was at the very beginning of my research. And so I posted the question, and the question was simply, how do you incorporate gratitude and appreciation into your business? Now, I'm thinking that I'm going to get the standard vanilla answer that everybody does when they answer on social media and they try to look professional. The very first response that I received was a woman that basically said, you don't need to incorporate gratitude and appreciation into your business because people are just going to take advantage of you anyway. And I remember looking at this email that I got, and you could hear, you know, you could hear it. And I'm sitting there, I called my best friend. I'm like, what do I do with this? How do I even deal with somebody that's so angry when I'm asking about gratitude, for goodness sake? So I decided to email her back. And I said, well, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. And she emailed me back again and was like, that's all right. I'm a big girl now and I'm moving on.
Okay.
You kind of sit there with your your jaw on the floor going, wow, what happened to this woman? So again, I, glutton for punishment, I decided to email her back one more time. And I said, you know, this may sound really silly, really woo-woo to you, but if you would simply take my 30-day challenge, and all that means is for the next 30 days, simply write down 3 to 5 things every day for which you're grateful and let me know how it goes. And I got this email back from her and she's like, oh, thank you for being so positive. I'll do that right away. And I'm looking at this email like, okay, who are you and what happened to the other lady? And so we kind of kept in touch for the next couple weeks. And then about a month went by and I emailed her back to see how things were going. And she said, it's really interesting. She said, I haven't been feeling that much different, but other people noticed. And that's when I knew I was on to something, because here was a woman that doubted it, that came in with so much anger surrounding it. But the thing that I have to say about her is that she was willing to try. Even though she didn't fully believe me and believe that it would make a difference, she was open enough to simply write it down. And probably that 1 to 2 minutes that she spent writing down 5 sentences, I am grateful for, and adding a little bit of detail to it, instead of saying every day, I'm grateful for my husband, I'm grateful for my cat, you know, I'm grateful that my husband Scott cooked a great dinner on the grill last night. I'm grateful for my cat watching Big Bang Theory with a kitty on my lap. You know, adding some of that detail to it. But just that 2 minutes that it took her was transformative. And it was really an amazing experience. And I love that story because she's probably still one of my very best examples of what happens when somebody's just open to it and they just start that practice.
Well, you can hear the teeth clenching in that response. The initial response is like, oh my, you have been through some stuff. And instead of you being put off and taking it personally, you said, well, okay, let's just go back in and see if there's an opening.
Right. Well, and you know what, and you bring up a really good point, Wendy, is that none of us have any idea what happened to that person 5 minutes before our interaction with them. And if we can just get it out of our heads that it's not about us, it's not about anything that has to do with us, it's about them, it's what they have going on in their life. And I think that I was an instrument that came on at the right time that she was open to, but I don't know what caused that bitter reaction. For all I know, that she could have gotten fired yesterday or lost her big account or gotten, you know, yelled at by a client 10 minutes before. But when we remove ourselves from the situation and we try to see it from the other person's standpoint and just see what, you know, make sure that it's not about us, again, it starts to transform us and it prevents us from saying anything that we may regret in that relationship.
Well, I tell you, relationships are tough. And having been through occasions when part of the group that you're working with is kept and the other group is gone, or, you know, inadvertently somebody gets fired. I was in broadcasting. So this is like musical chairs. One day the chairs are all full. The next day, half of them are empty. And the third day they're all empty. And then they come in. It's a, you know, a merry-go-round of in and out. Okay. And so in the meantime, though, people are part of this process and feelings are intense and emotions are absolutely on, you know, high. And when you go through that experience and the people around you expect certain reactions, like I'm supposed to call when somebody got fired and say, I'm so sorry you got fired. There's no protocol for what to do in these kinds of situations. And so you lose friends, you lose connections, you lose people that you thought you had good relationships with simply because the etiquette of saying, thank you for being there. I'm sorry, this is no longer going to be part of my daily routine, but I appreciated you while it lasted. It's just amazing how complicated our connections become when we don't know how to go in and mend fences or say goodbye or transition from one piece of, the puzzle where you're everybody's all on the same page to when you start going out and being little islands and everybody like you went out and you started an entirely new business, a whole new thing.
Right.
And, you know, in doing that, people sometimes feel like, well, they got left out, or why didn't it happen for me? How come that person's able to succeed and I'm not? And they get angry and they get jealous.
Right.
You know, I guess part of it is you're in a place now where you can address people who are going through transitions and going through changes, whatever they happen to be stemming from. You're there to say, here's a way to pick up the pieces and make something from it and create a new world, a new reality, a new foundation.
Right. And looking at the things that you do still have, no matter what is taken away from us, we still have so many blessings that we can look back on. I remember on that day, or right around the time when my position was eliminated, I felt utterly abandoned by the people that I worked with, because even though I had been there for 7 years, people don't know what to say. There, like you said, there is no protocol for it. But when I looked back and I considered what I had done in the past when other people were let go, I did the same thing because I didn't know what to say. So I was able to, again, go back and forgive that interaction because I did the exact same thing. We don't know how to let people go, how to let people be, let them know that we appreciated the time that we spent with them. And it's still going on today. But no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how rough things get, at the beginning of the day, when I like to do my gratitude journal, I can be grateful in advance. You know, I'm grateful for my husband, but I'm so grateful that I'm going to have a successful speech today. I'm so grateful that I'm going to meet with my favorite client. You know, at the end of the day, it gives you the opportunity to look back on the day, that even if it was just a horrible day and you felt that everything went wrong, when you look back on the day and say, okay, well, this Lisa woman told me that I have to do this gratitude thing, so what can I be grateful for today? And then you find one thing. You know, it's like, okay, it was a beautiful day out, the sun was out. And once you can find one thing, it makes it easier. And before long, you're able to look back on your day with a different perspective. And again,
Jerry Seinfeld has a method of, you know, doing something on a calendar and starting out and crossing the day off with a marker, you know, day one, day two, day three, day four. And then he gets a succession. Don't break the chain. Don't break the chain. So the gratitude thing of, okay, here's day one, here's day two, and making these little games of seeing how you can keep going, even if you don't feel like it. And even if today doesn't seem like there's something good in it, one thing is usually not too difficult. Usually.
Right. Well, that's and even if it comes down to, I can fog a mirror today. You know what I mean? Start there. You know, I think that people are under the impression that they have to be happy, happy, joy, joy all the time, that they have to put on this fake Pollyanna attitude and never have experience any emotions. And that's absolutely not the case. If you're angry, be angry. If you're sad, be sad. If you're mad or depressed or whatever, but don't get stuck in the muck. Because anytime we look back on our lives, on the calamities, on the tragedies that have happened to us, when we look back a month or a year or 5 years later, we see that that disaster turned us into becoming the person that we are, and we can look back and be grateful. So it's just not, it's addressing the reality of the feelings, of the emotions that we go through. But even in the midst of things, okay, let me find one thing that I can be grateful for in this situation. I just got into a car accident. Well, I can still stand and my car can be fixed, you know, or if the car was totaled, well, hey, yay, I'll be getting a new car. So we can always find something.
Well, I think that's the easiest thing is just being willing to find something. There's a difference in when you're saying joy, everybody, but you feel like you're supposed to be happy all the time. Gratitude has there's such a different energy. It's just saying thank you. Thank you. It isn't right. about being enthusiastically happy and overjoyed and hopping up and down and doing cartwheels. It's about being present and aware and simply appreciative that there is a moment that you can say, I like this. I'm okay.
Right.
So
yeah,
I came across
a beautiful saying lately that we need to take time to appreciate what we have before time makes us appreciate what we had. And I think that so many times we're not, you just brought up a beautiful word in being present, in experiencing what we're going through right now, whatever that is, but experience, you know, enjoying the ride while we're here. We're so focused on getting to the journey, on getting to the destination, on living, you know, a half hour ahead all the time, instead of living in the moment of expressing that gratitude. And for the ordinary, yes, you're going to be grateful when you got the job, you know, your dream job, or you met the love of your life. And yes, you're going to be sad, or you narrowly escaped the calamity, so you can be grateful about that. But it's the everyday. It's the, I have a house that keeps me safe. I have transportation. I have family. I have friends. There's so many things that aren't big, but they make up the very fabric of our lives. And those are the things that we most take for granted.
Okay, we're going to take a break, but I want to come back. And from that job that you transitioned from, you went into a whole new world where you're a book author, you've got a movie to your credit, and you're yep. like a rock star for the motivational crowd. How's that?
I love it.
Okay, well, we're going to get into that when we come back. All right, we're talking with Lisa Ryan about gratitude. So stick around. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn. or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi there, this is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. We're talking with our guest, Lisa Ryan. She's the author of The Upside of Downtimes, Discovering the Power of Gratitude. And thank you notes. From afraid to speak to paid to speak. And when you hear her speak, you know why. All right. She's also in a couple of the films, The Keeper of the Keys and The Gratitude Experience. So that downside really flipped for you. This is a great upside.
Yeah, it's really been an amazing journey in the last 3 years.
What was the best part?
There's been so many, and they've all kind of tied in together. I went to a convention in 2010 for the National Speakers Association, where I was introduced to, or I met Doug Vermeeren. And I took one of his classes, and I was telling him I was a gratitude expert, and he was telling me about this movie that he was making called The Gratitude Experiment, and invited me to be a member of the cast. And then because I was working with Doug, I had the opportunity to go to Las Vegas, where I connected with Robin Jay, who was writing a movie called The Keeper of the Keys with Jack Canfield and Marcy Shimoff. And I said, oh, your movie sounds wonderful. I just finished filming a movie with several people from The Secret, Bob Proctor, John DeMartini, Mary Morrissey. I said, your movie sounds phenomenal. And I went home, never expecting to really talk to Robin again. And the following Sunday, I was at church talking to this gentleman I've known for 25 years. And he was telling me about this movie that his daughter was making with Jack Canfield and Marcy Shimoff in it. I'm like, wow, that sounds a lot like Robin's movie. And I said, wait a minute, Robin Jay, Irwin Jay. I said, Irwin, what's your daughter's name? And he said, Robin. I said, I just had dinner with her. He said, no, you didn't. She lives in Las Vegas. So The Keeper of the Keys came around, and I had the opportunity to meet Jack Canfield of Chicken Soup for the Soul and John Gray of Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, and Marcy Shimoff. And the red carpet premiere was in Las Vegas, and I was going to do a red carpet premiere in Cleveland, where I live. And so I figured, well, for the red carpet, I should probably have a book. And so that's where The Upside of Down Times came. So it was just once it all started flowing, it just came together in this beautiful way. But I think that out of all the experiences that I've had, it's the holding my book, holding The Upside of Down Times for the first moment of giving birth to something that came from your heart and soul, and holding that book and becoming an author for the first time. I think that was just absolutely magical. And now The Gratitude Experiment, 3 years after it was filmed, finally just came out. It came out in April at a red carpet in Calgary, and I'll be having an event here in October to release that movie. So it's just been, it's been a lot of fun. And the other books have come as a result of, with From Afraid to Speak to Paid to Speak, I wanted to see what it was like to put out a Kindle book. So I got that book out, and it went to a bestseller on Amazon. And one of my clients said, well, we really want you to teach a class on that, but we want your book. And I said, well, my book's a Kindle. She's like, but we really want a copy of your book. And I said, but my book's really a Kindle. the third time she said it, I said, okay, Lisa, get a clue here. So I figured out how to publish it then, from to take it from a Kindle to go on CreateSpace. And that book came to fruition just within the last couple months. And now that's my workbook that I'm using. So it's almost been like this dance. I think when you're open to things, when you're truly open to knowing that your highest and best good is out there, and you're grateful along the journey and for what, and just going in with this positive expectation, it's been just amazing. And I should stop being surprised, but it's still there. It's just been a joy. Not easy all the time, believe me. You know, but it's when I look at all the things that have happened and just these synchronicities of life that have gone on in the last 3 years, it's really been a remarkable journey.
Well, I spoke with Derek Mills, the 10-Second Philosophy, and that's how we connected, because Derek's also one of the people who's listed in the key movies. And, right. You know, there's just such a dynamic, an enthusiasm, a spark that you guys generate that I think gives people a jump start. It really does make a difference when you are around people who are enjoying and engaged with what they're doing, and they feel good. They just have much more enthusiasm for the topic, and it's a very precious commodity, in my opinion.
Right, and Derek was another one of the highlights, being in the Keeper of the Keys, of just being around him. Number one, he's such an amazing human being to begin with, and who cannot love listening to that voice?
I know, yeah.
but when he shares his story from a guy that had everything to really realizing that he wasn't taking the time to enjoy his family, to enjoy the journey, and getting back to gratitude. You know, because in the Keeper of the Keys, there's 7 keys to gratitude, and Derek and I were the only two that actually spoke about the power of appreciation. We had the key of appreciation. So right off the bat, we kind of bonded with each other because we were experts talking about the same power.
And it takes a while sometimes to be able to integrate some of these things. When you learn from the material, whatever, or the school of hard knocks, it's a process. When you start incorporating that one little change, the one thing I have always found to be thankful for is I can change. I can change. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the easiest thing. And it's a real gift to just realize that can happen at any moment, in any second. It doesn't have to be something you plan. You don't have to make room for it. You just change. Poof. Gone.
Well, and that's what it starts with. It's such a little thing, which is why I think we take gratitude for granted, because can it really be that easy of sitting down and writing down 5 things that I'm grateful for every day? It can't be that easy. And I can guarantee you it can be that easy. It can be simply, even if you're doing it because Lisa Ryan gave you this 30-day challenge, okay, I'm going to prove her wrong, but you do it, and you start to see, you know, I do have things to be grateful for. I have a program called Take 5 and Thrive, which is finding 5 different ways or 5 ways to say thank you every day. You can do this either expressing gratitude, writing it in your journal, sending a thank you note, sending a letter of appreciation, or meditating on gratitude for 5 minutes. And the last time I did this program, I had a woman that at the beginning of it was tentatively diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And I saw her on that day. I had given a talk, and she came up to me afterwards with tears in her eyes and was saying, there was a reason I was supposed to be here today. I knew that for some reason I was supposed to be at your talk. And I just thanked her for sharing that with me, not knowing that she had just received that diagnosis the day before. Well, she took my 30-day challenge through this 5 thank yous a day. And at the end of it, I was interviewing people because I wanted to see how gratitude touched them. And her comment to me was that she had just found out that the diagnosis was confirmed, that she did have Parkinson's disease. And she said, Lisa, I am not going to let this disease conquer me. I am going to conquer it. And it was so magical. But again, not having that, knowing that there are no coincidences, that we were brought together for that reason, to introduce her to the power of gratitude so that she could deal with the single hardest thing that she would have to deal with physically in her life. And by having that consistent practice for 30 days, now it's set her up to form that habit so that she does feel better. And she knows that even on the most difficult days, that she can find something to be grateful for.
Well, there's a reason we have rituals and routines and programs and affirmations and things that make us make time to sit down and do something on a regular basis, because you're reformatting the hard drive. You're putting in a new program and activating a new subroutine that, instead of the go-to of, oh, it's raining, it's like, wow, what's going on? And you're not even concerned about the weather because it doesn't matter. You're going to have fun anyway. Those are difficult things to spell out. But when you're just doing it and you're saying, well, here's my list of things I'm happy for, grateful for, thankful for. And then after a while, you don't have to make the list. You're already in that state of mind. You're already in that frame of reference. And then the world responds to you in the reflection of what you are putting out. But it's such an easy process that people have to make journals and make logs and make notes and put sticky notes and post-its everywhere to remind them as they're changing that this is the routine they want to start doing. So it might seem a little bit at first tedious to sit down every day, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? When it becomes effortless, then you'll know, oh, I've got the program. It's done. It's me. It's not me acting like or pretending or hoping or aspiring. I am. And then that appreciation has a whole different feeling. You're not putting on the cloak. You're wearing it. The movie, The Gratitude Experiment, I've got it up here, gratitudeexperiment.com.
Right.
People can, they can see that now. They can get a tease and see what the movie's about. And then where will it be?
It's going to be, if it's not streaming already, it's going to be streaming. Doug is currently in the process of putting it through distribution. Gratitude Experiment is basically brand new. So it will be out and available very soon. But going to the website, thegratitudeexperiment.com, he will be posting exactly when it's going to be available and where it can be found.
Okay, now I've got you can stream it right now for $5.99 or download it for $19.99. So yeah, it's up and looks like it's ready to go. I just know that we've been doing local screenings here for different movies. And if that's a possibility, this would be a good one to bring to town. We're going to have another, I think they just announced Open Circle Online. They announced that they're going to have another week of screenings in sometime this fall. But it's these kinds of films, they're very, I think, helpful in giving people a chance to change their mindset. And it's just, you know, it's amazing the power of seeing this with a group of people who want to move, like with you and your four friends who went to that seminar in 2009 or three friends.
The gratitude experiment, the thing that I love about it, like in The Keeper of the Keys, there were seven keys and they were all beautiful, wonderful stories. But in The Gratitude Experiment, it has a single-minded focus on gratitude from a lot of different areas, from the scientific, from the metaphysical, from the emotional, sharing stories. There's all kinds of different people and people that are sharing their experiences, but everything comes down to gratitude. Now, I was visiting with family a couple weeks ago in Atlanta, and I had a copy of the movie with me. And we watched it, and it's always interesting to see, you know, because family can sometimes be the worst when it comes to that. But I sat down with my family, and I watched as they were watching the movie, and I saw the tears, and I saw the different emotions that were being brought up by different stories. Everyone in my family was affected by somebody else's take on gratitude. And when you're just consumed with that for the movie's 60 minutes. I mean, it's an hour out of your life that adds so much to it, because it really makes you realize the power again when we appreciate what we have.
I just looked at the site here, and for people who want to see the film, they're asking you now to make it available on Amazon. So people who have already seen it are saying, hey, and who want to see it, say,
right.
Get this out there. So it's nice to know there's a demand for something that people are, you know, when they hear this and they hear the information, they want to enact or act and get it immediately so they can absorb it and then start doing the routine with your program. That just starting the journaling daily, you can already get in the space of becoming grateful and then seeing the movie, The Gratitude Experiment, where you see stories, right, or testimonials. I wanted to also ask about the metaphysical aspect.
The metaphysical aspect is just primarily because gratitude, people automatically associate gratitude with spiritual, with metaphysical, with outside of us. But it encompasses everything. Yes, we can be grateful to a higher power, and there is definite power that surrounds that whole energy, but it doesn't necessarily have to be being grateful to someone or being grateful for someone, for something. It's living our life in gratitude. It's just that feeling of getting to the point, like you were talking before, of writing down the notes and starting to live that philosophy until it becomes almost effortless, because we look at gratitude as a muscle. And maybe when we're first starting out, our gratitude muscle is weak because we're not used to sitting down and really going within ourselves and looking at the things that we're grateful for. But as we develop that gratitude muscle, as we start to consciously look at our lives around us, then we start living our lives in gratitude. And one thing, too, I've had several people say to me, oh, you know, I'm grateful all the time. I'm always thinking gratitude, and I'm always grateful. Chances are we're probably not as grateful as we think we are outwardly, but you need to write it down. It's the physical act of having a pen in your hand or pencil in your hand and feeling that pen in your hand and seeing the words on paper and hearing the words as you're writing them down and getting into that emotion of gratitude, so that we're using a lot more senses than we are simply if we're thinking gratitude. We want to have grateful thoughts, but particularly when we're first beginning our practice, when we're first developing that habit, you need to do more than just be grateful in your thoughts, of that physical act of writing down 5 sentences. Literally, it takes a minute. And mine is not even in a fancy gratitude journal. I use loose leaf paper and a binder. For a gratitude expert, I probably have the worst looking gratitude journal on the planet because it's sloppy. But I use it. You know, sometimes we get these journals that they're so pretty that we get a little intimidated or not. We feel guilty because we're not filling up the words or, you know, loose leaf paper in a binder. I fill it up. I take the papers out. I put them in a file. I put new paper in. You know what I mean? It's easy to do, also easy not to do, but it's just starting that habit and starting today of writing it down. And it's incredible the miracles that happen.
Well, sometimes you go back, and you can go back for years, depending on how long you've been doing it, and see where you were at that point in time and track the improvement, track the perspective. What was I writing about? Was I writing about every little nitpicky thing that happened to me and about how, you know, my life circumstances were happening to me and I was a victim, and then transitioned into what I plan to do to create, what I have changed and what I have done and the things I'm looking forward to. You can just in those 5 sentences, you can see the transition, if you chart it over a period of time, to the things that your mind is occupied with. And it really does give you a diary and a footprint, you know, to go back and see how you have evolved or where you might still want to, you know, tweak a few things. There's always room for tweaking.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Because the interesting thing is that I was keeping a gratitude journal through that whole thing. Before my job went away, I was keeping a gratitude journal, and then afterwards. And it was interesting when I went back and I looked at where I was right before my position was eliminated. And there was actually some things in my journal that I'm grateful that I'm built, because at that point I was building my speaking business on a very, very part-time basis. But you can almost see that in my little gratitudes there, that I was ready for the next step, that I was ready for something else to happen. So it was just, and then afterwards, the, you know, going through that whole cycle of being ecstatic that I can do my own thing, to being angry for being let go, for to being depressed because what am I going to do with my life? But you can track, you can definitely track those emotions and see how it all comes back to, okay, I'm going through this, but what can I find to be grateful for in this moment right now? And I find that, you know, sometimes life gets in the way and I've missed my practice for a couple days and I feel it. I feel it. I'll be like, why am I feeling so down? It's like, ugh, haven't done the gratitude journal. As soon as I go back to it, I notice that I go back into the upward spiral where things are working out again. It's really an amazing thing.
Okay, my question is, you are right now becoming a very public persona. What will happen when all of this goes away?
You know, I am having so much fun enjoying the ride right now that I think that I will just really appreciate being given the opportunity to share gratitude, to transform the lives that I have already. And if it were to all be gone tomorrow, I would still have my husband, I would still have my house, I would still have my cats, and I would still have my family. I'm blessed that both of my parents are still alive and I have my siblings. So when it all comes down to the very essence of what makes my life good, it's everything else. And this business that I've built on gratitude is basically my cherry on my ice cream.
Well, and I ask that because that's the thing about this. When these things take off and all of a sudden there is this microscope where everybody wants a piece of the action. They want your attention. They want you to speak. They want you to perform. They want, you know, whatever it is you're creating. They want more. And then you as a person, you accommodate, you get to that point. But when that shift goes, what is your joy? Where are you going to be? Where do you see yourself when this becomes part of your history and you're looking at that future out there? What's next? Because you've done a dynamite job of creating this. I'm just curious what your next big, huge you project is. Do you have one yet?
You know, I really like writing. I was surprised because when I wrote The Upside of Downtime, basically it was so that I had a book for the movie premiere and I would have some books for back of the room products for when I speak. I mean, honestly, that's why I originally wrote the book. But after that experience of holding it in my hand, I love writing. So I think that no matter where the rest of this goes, the ability to write books and write blogs and contribute articles, I'm published in numerous, I'm a monthly contributor to numerous magazines. One is an iPad magazine called Magnifique. It's out of Australia. It used to be called The Secrets of the Secret, but it's based on the law of attraction. And I just really enjoy writing. I allow that, allowing that creativity to come out. So no matter what else goes away, I think that my...
That you might have discovered that the writing is really that,
yeah,
where your soul is shining and saying, hey, 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 here, sparkle, sparkle, sparkle.
Yeah. I love writing. I love seeing my books published on Kindle. You know, I just like getting information out there, because with a book, it's something that, you know, will be around long after I'm no longer on the planet. If I were to pick one goal in life as far as where I would like my book to go, I would like my book to have the impact on others' lives that Think and Grow Rich has had on me. Napoleon Hill's 1937 classic, Think and Grow Rich, Dale Carnegie's The Magic of How to Win Friends and Influence People, and David Schwartz's The Magic of Thinking Big, if I could come out with a book that would impact lives for the next 50 or 100 or plus years, the way that these gentlemen have impacted my life, I will feel that my purpose has been served.
And absolutely, those are classics. They are classics. And if you're listening and you haven't read all of them or any of them, Google, because those are stepping stones, and they are really full, each and every one, of incredible insight that gives you the freedom to start creating your world the way that you would like it to be, as opposed to the way it has happened to you.
Right. Absolutely.
They just cause mind shifts. That's part of it. And it's what you are doing, you're adding to the equation and giving people more of a visual component to work with and add, and then, you know, following up with the communities and on Facebook, social media, that has changed our world dramatically. Do you see that being more, for you, more, I guess, does it take away from what you're doing because you have to, you know, devote a lot of time to that? Or is that refreshing because then you have to do less work, because once you send something out there, then they share it 80 billion times and hey, work's done.
Well, I think that it contributes to what I do. Just by posting articles, I'm a diamond author on ezinearticles.com. And just by the articles that I've posted, I've been interviewed by a Canadian show. She brought me on as a gratitude expert. Again, the Australian. I have connections, and I've connected with people from all over the world. My Kindle books, I can go on and look at the reports of where my books are being bought around the world. Kindle is a lot more open than Amazon when it comes to allowing you to trace where your sales are. But it's just, to me, social media just makes it cool that I'm impacting a lot more people than just in my neck of the woods in Cleveland, Ohio, in the state of Ohio, in the country of the United States. But the information that I'm providing now has the ability within a couple milliseconds to go all around the world. And I think that's really cool.
Okay. Again, we're talking. Lisa Ryan is in the movies, The Keeper of the Keys and The Gratitude Experiment. And if you want to find out more about those, you can Google and get online and see previews or trailers and find out more. Again, the new one is The Gratitude Experiment. So it might actually be screening, or you can arrange a screening near you. She's also calling herself the Chief Appreciation Strategist. Gratitude.com. Okay, so this is what you want to remember: the Chief Appreciation Strategist. That's a lot of.
Well, it was a lot worse when the name of my company was Appreciation Strategies. I was Chief Appreciation Strategist at Appreciation Strategies. I like Gratitude a lot better. that was a mouthful.
I'm going to suggest the thank you lady. Okay, just say thank you.
That works for me, Wendy. It works for me.
Now, you've got a good thing. I appreciate what you're doing, and I like your enthusiasm. I love the way you turned it around when the lady who, you know, you could just hear those teeth clenching as she gave you a very honest and forthright answer of this will not work. People will take advantage of you. But you know what? If you try it and you live it, you realize that the world opens up in entirely new and unexpected ways, because all of a sudden you give the world something to appreciate in you. And that's how it works. It's a mirror. So, you know, you are doing what others would like to become. You are sharing your story of how you became grateful, and they can do that too. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I think I've got a minute left. And so go ahead, and if there's anything you want to add, website, other places they can catch your information, go ahead and share it.
Sure. Visit my website at gratitude.com. There's all kinds of, there's videos, there's blog posts on there. I'd love to connect. Shoot me an email on there. I also, on my website, offer a gratitude thought of the week, which is a short inspirational message that it's amazing how often it shows up, the exact message that you need exactly when you need it. So I would love to offer that to your listeners, to keep that communication open, and to really to help them and all of us to change the world one thank you at a time.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your information. Again, Lisa Ryan, The Gratitude Experiment, and the movie will be screening or streaming near you. I'd like to thank you for listening. I appreciate your time and remind you, we've got a lot of other great shows here at Empower Radio. You can check the library, the extended file for Conscious Living on Empower Radio, and find out all sorts of wonderful and dynamic presentations from people who are showing everybody that life is a mix. It's a variety. There are lots of people here who have tremendous, tremendous bits of information to share. And we are growing as we learn and make those connections. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, remember to think the best thoughts. They always come back to you. See ya.